Yeah. We're going to try to understand a little better through the Ramban, the whole, not the whole, but an idea that runs through Shiras Hazinu. We'll also try to explain why we call it a Shira. We'll see, that's a question. It may not have occurred to anybody why we call it a Shira. I never thought of it either until I looked at it more carefully. But so the Shira goes through.
It's written like a Shira in the Torah.
Right, that is written right. So why is it written like a Shira in the Torah? Meaning, Az Yashir is a very obvious Shira. We're singing the praises of Hashem, and there are other, you know, the Shira's Devorah that we have in Sefer Shoftim is also singing the praises of Hashem. We'll see here as we look more closely, not exactly what's going on here. So let's try to understand it a little better. So it goes through the better part of this week's Parsha Hazinu. We're actually going to start out of order, and then we'll try to go through from the beginning to explain, because the Ramban really gives this whole thrust of what he's trying to explain here at the end. So let's turn to Parak Lamed Beis, Pasuk Mem through Mem Gimelish Shishi. So what the Shir has been describing until now is how after we've sinned for whatever various sins, and the Goyim, the non-Jews, are going to come up against us and fight and attack us, and we're going to have no one to save us, and that's the previous pasuk, that there's no one to save us. And then the Shir continues, and now it changes voice in the voice of Hashem. Most of the Shir was Moshe speaking. And it says in Pasuk Mem, Ki ase al shemayim yodi v'amarti chay anochi li'olam. So Rashi explains that's the language of a Shua. Hashem's going to figuratively take his hand and point it up to Shemayim, and he's going to say, as I live forever, meaning it's the language of a Shua. And the Pasuk describes, Shenosi barach herbi v'tachos v'mishbat yodi. I'm going to sharpen my sword. I'm going to make my hand into judgment. Ishiv nakom l'tzari. I'm going to pay back the kama. I'm going to pay back the vengeance to my enemies. And I'll pay back also for the people that hate me, referring to the non-Jews that came up against us. As shkir chati midam, cher bitachol basar, blood and flesh, midam chalav shavi mirosh paras oyev, I'm going to destroy the enemies. And then, finally, as the shir ends, harinu goyim amo, all the nations will sing the praise of Hashem's people, kidam av adam yikum, because Hashem is going to avenge the blood of all of Klai Yisrael after they've been suffered so long under the Goyim, v'nakov yashuv l'tzarov, and he'll bring retribution on his enemies, v'chiper ad maso amo, and there'll be a kapara to the land of his people. So it's the end of the Shira, finally, is that we're going to get there's going to be a kapara, Hashem's going to forgive us for what's been going on until now. So what has been going on until now, what caused all these sins, which is what the whole Shira describes. So the Ramban here, this is the one we'll try to do more inside than the others. The Ramban here explains exactly what goes on here. So what obviously is being described here is galus. That's what's being described until now. But due to our sins, we're going to be exiled, and then that's what's going to give the non-Jews the opportunity to gang up on us. So ha'emes starts in the beginning right here, under the psukim ha'emes ba'avur ki be'is ha'galus hashlich mishamayim eretz tferes Yisrael. The glory of the nation of Israel was thrown down and lowered down due to the galus. Yomer shi'asenu ata. Now Hashem is going to raise us back up. And Hashem is going to take out his strong hand and fight for us again, like we see it says in, I guess it's a little bit of a reference to Az Yashir, right? We see that Hashem is an Ish Milchama, so Hashem is going to take his hand on Milchemes, that you saw, and fight for us. And this is why I'm taking Yeshua. I'm going to revive my strong hand. I was sleeping till now, and I turned my face away from you, Hashem says. And now I'm going to turn my face back to you and fight for you again. Now I'm going to fight for your justice. And that's at this time, the time of the future, where the kisei, the shem Hashem is shalim, where there's a geula. So now he's going to explain where this is coming from. The purpose of this entire Shira is that it should be a witness for us, and it should be forever a truth for us. To explain everything that's going to happen to us throughout history. His kira tchila, this will go back to the psukim to see. From the beginning that Hashem took us, really from the time of creation, Hashem took us to be his special nation. So Hashem made us part of his chelek, and he did so much good for us. His kira tobush asalana b'midbar, all that he fed us in the man in the midbar, he took care of us. The pasuk says, you know, like his eye, he took care of us so closely in the midbar. Asher henchilna artos agayim magdolim lahatzumim. After that, he brought us into Eretz Yisrael, and something that's not according to the natural way of the world, he kicked out, we had the ability to kick out seven strong nations. He gave us, not only did he give us that, he gave us Osher and Kavod. He made us a great nation above all the another nations. What did we do? We turned around and did the worst possible thing we could have possibly done. We were Ovid Avodah Zarah. In the face of all the goodness that Hashem did for us, the Jews at that time were Ovid Avodah Zarah. V'hizkiru hakas asher hayim lefanav aleihem. How upset was he? Ad sheshalach ben ba'artzam dever v'rav v'chayi v'rav v'cherev v'achachin pizor asam b'chol ruach v'peyah. Not only did he exile us from the land, but before that, we had destruction in the land, as the Pesukim in the Yirmiyah describe about the Chor Meis HaMikdash. V'yodeh ki kol zeh niskayim v'yakin. And we know this all happened. If you look in the Rambam, we'll get to this in the end. If you look at everything the Pesukim were described, we could trace throughout history how all this did happen, right? We didn't, it's not the Shiras, you know, other Shiras, other Tochas in the Torah, you don't necessarily see exactly how everything played out. Here, we see how this played out. We know from the time of the Chorban Bayis that we as the Pesukim described, that there was tremendous tragedy in the land, and then they took us into Galus, and they sent us throughout all the corners of the land. V'amr Hashira, in the end, though, Hashem's going to pay back the ones that hate him. So this is a very important point to understand the root of anti-Semitism. Because Pesukim and Tehillim describe this as well, that the reason why the non-Jews are so angry with Klal Yisrael and they try and they attack us and they never let us just live peacefully in our land is not just because they hate us and they want us to come along with them and join their religion, which there's some truth to, but the main purpose is because they hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that they're jealous, the fact that he chose us as a chosen people and left them behind. That's a lot of what the Christian doctrine is based on, that's trying to really explain how really they are the chosen people and right, yeah, from the time of Jesus, how things changed over. Why is that their main thing? Because that's what really upset them the most, to say that we're the nation that claims that we're the chosen people. So then they really have a sin towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that he chose us over them. They don't want us to necessarily do a Avodah Zarah like them. Rak bavor shalo asu kamaseyim. The other is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We chose to serve Hashem. The shamrus mitzvaso v'lo yischatu bahem v'lo yachlu mitzvachem. We don't marry into them. We don't eat from their offerings. V'zvazu avodah zarah shalhem. And we think their avodah zarah is ridiculous. V'yavur also mimkamoseyim. And we even have a mitzvah. We have to uproot all the avodah zarah and destroy it from our land. K'nishenamar ki alecha haragnu kol hayom. Imkein l'sanaso shal Kadosh Baruch Hu yasu banu kol haros eilo. It's because they hate Hashem. They hate Tzarov, and therefore they become Hashem's enemies. Therefore Hashem has to do war with them. And these psukim here, the last psukim of the Shira, are giving a hope, are giving a promise for the future geula that's going to take place. Because he proves it can't be about the rebuilding of Bayis Sheni. Because we see that when we got permission in the time of Ezra to go back and build the Bayis Sheni, we didn't go into Eretz Yisrael and destroy the people that were inhabiting the land. We lived somewhat peacefully amongst them. So obviously, this Shira is not telling you that we're going to get a Geula and Bayis Sheni. It's the future Geula that we're going to experience hopefully soon. There, the Goyim are going to be punished. Rak lagu alayhem, umaha yehudim alum al osim. They, the non-Jews, in that time, the Pasuk in Nehemiah says, thought we were ridiculous. What are we doing rebuilding our base in English? That didn't take place in that time. So rather, it's talking about the future geula. The hinei, very key line. Ein ba'ashira azos tenai b'tshuva v'yavoda. Raki shtar idah shenasa haralos v'nuchal. Opposed to what we saw in Parshas Vayelech last week, where the Torah described how after all the suffering that's going to come upon us, we're going to seek out Hashem, we're going to do tshuva. This Shira does not mention a single word of tshuva. As we'll see, it mentions how the non-Jews came and attacked us, and in the end, Hashem's going to kill them and take us back. It doesn't say when we do tshuva. Why? Because this is a shtar edus. It's a document of testimony that we have in our hands to keep the hope of the Geula alive. Shenasim haros v'nucha, that we're going to be able to overcome them. Hashem's going to defeat them. V'shu yisbarach yasu banu b'tochachos chema, avalo yeshiva yishbat zachreinu. He'll never forget about us. V'yashu miyasnachim v'yifarim min ha'oivim b'cherbo ha'kasha agdolu b'chazaka. Take a great sword. Destroy the enemies. V'yichapir al chataseinu l'man shemo. And he'll forgive our sins for his name's sake. It's very fitting for the time we're entering. But sometimes, if we're not able to do tshuva, Hashem will still forgive us. Why? For His name's sake, because it's Techil Hashem. The Ramban explains in Kain, Hashir Zos Havtachem Uveres Begula Asida Akarchan Shalminin. And this Shira, the reason why it's so special, is because it's a promise, it's a hope, it's a proof of our future Geula that the Ramban says that we can put in the face of the people who deny it. And the reason why, we'll see as we go through the Pesukim, why it's Laman Shmo, is because even though we sinned, the Jewish people still have a special bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that we, the reason why we have so much to be makir, the reason why we have so much to be makir tov to Rabbono Sholom is because he did so much for us. He did so much for us because we also went along with him in a time where nobody else went. Right? We accepted the Torah, even though we know all the other nations were offered the Torah. We accepted it. And we followed him, right? The Pesukim say, Lechta Chachrai B'midbar. We followed after Hashem. So there were times that we that the special relationship we have with Hashem was accentuated and was practiced in the way which should have been. So in the end of the day, since we are the children of Hashem and we are the servants of Hashem, so that's a bris, that's a star that we can that will never be ripped up. Hashem will never turn his back. So we may sin, and even without tshuva, he'll have to forgive us in order that it's enough. Okay, we got punished, but the chila Hashem, the fact that the non-Jews are beating upon us and there's no end, at that point Hashem says it's enough and he's going to take us out of the galus and bring the gula, so it's a kapara for his namesake. We don't necessarily deserve it, but because we have such a solid bris that's with Hashem, that's unbreakable, so even our averus and the lack of tshuva from them cannot break that. And then he says quotes the Medrash, we can just skip down to the last few lines, but the next paragraph, he quotes the Medrash that explains why the Shira is so special, because it has the past, the present, and the future. Even if this Shira wasn't written in our Torah, and it was a letter that some astronomer or some psychic person came with, we should still believe it. Everything that's in the Shira has already taken place until the point that we're up to in history has taken place. So why shouldn't we believe that the rest will take place as well? And therefore we should hope and use Shira as a hope for this Gula to come. And we know that no matter how down it looks and how far we are, it seems to be, there's still hope and we'll still get there because this Shira is the testimony for that. So now, taking his idea, just to summarize the main point, is that the beginning point is that what caused all the suffering, all the difficulties that is going to be described is due to our lack of Hakar Satov. So if we go to the beginning of the Parsha, we'll see that clearly in a number of Sukkot.
When did you say Hakar Satov?
Yes, so here, that's in the first paragraph, over here where there's a period, like five down line, the end of Hizkir Tchila HaChesed Sh'asli Imanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mi'ash L'kachnu L'chelko Hizkir HaTovo Sh'aslan B'midbar V'ashechan Artes HaGoyim HaGdolim HaTzumim, all the good things to do. And what do we do that? V'chimi Rov Kol Tovar Mar Dubal L'Bashem L'Avod Avod Zaru. All that goodness they did for us, what was our response? Avod Zaru. So I'll say it more clearly in the next Pesukim. So in the beginning is the introduction. That I don't have such a good explanation for the poetic Pesukim in the beginning that introduced the Shira of Azino Hashemayim and Yarav Kamat HaLechi Kishem Hashem Akra. And the important introduction of Pasuk Dalet HaTzara Tamim Palo, that's important to explain that all the ways of Hashem are righteous, even though we're about to describe some pretty serious punishments. The point is that it's all coming from the righteousness and from the Mishpat of Hashem that was deserving to us. So starting with Pasuk Hey, Shichas lo lo banav mumam dor ikeshu pistaltal halo Hashem tinglo zos am nava velo chacham halo hu avicha karnecha hu asacha v'yichonenecha. That we did, the Pasuk is asking, we did this to Hashem, are we his children? Right, Shichas lo lo banav mumam, the destruction that we did is not for him, it's rather our destruction. The Ramban here explains, we're not going to read inside, but that all the wrong things that we did doesn't affect, I think this fits with the Ramban we talked about in Kitetse about why we do mitzvahs, that nothing we do actually affects Hashem. And Hashem doesn't suffer or gain from our averos or mitzvahs, but rather it's our mum. We have a special bris with Hashem. We are his children. When we decide to do the wrong things, then we're breaking that relationship and we're distancing ourselves from being his children. And that's for us. It's not going to affect him. And what's Hashem's response? That's the next pasuk, right? But we just read, Am Navo V'lo Chacham. So what does it mean, Am Navo V'lo Chacham? So Rashi has one explanation, the Ramban argues, and I just gave the Ramban's explanation in the second paragraph here, Am Naval. Fidati, what does the Naval mean? Ha'ose Tovos Chinam Yikunidiv. Somebody who does favors for someone, who does good things for no reason, right? A free favor, yikud nidiv. He's called literally a generous person. Umishalim ra lemisha hitivimo yikud naval. The opposite of nidiv is a naval. Someone who does bad for one who did good for him, total goodness, that's called a naval, and he brings psukim for that, and that's why there's a character in Navi and Shmulath, Navala Karmali, that's exactly what he did. Kishmo Kenhu says that's exactly what he did with David. David did good enough for him, and he repaid him with bad. That time Akasov, in Eov he explains, and point. Okay, so the last paragraph, this is where it clearly says Akar Satov. Imkin Yomer Akasov, Hazos Tigmlu as Hashem ala Tovos, Sha'as Imchem. Am Naval, Shumashalim Ratakas Tova. We're paying back bad with all the goodness that he did for us. Palo Chacham. Ledas, why are we not chachamim? Because if we were chachamim, we should have realized kinasham gamlu hara zos lo lekel. For everything that he did for us, we should never have done such a thing. Kenyan shenamer im chataz matifal lo bo rabu pashecha matasolim sidkata matitin lo. We can't give anything to Hashem. Oma miyadcha yikach. We don't. It's all for us. We should have realized that Hashem's not. We're not punishing Hashem by not following his mitzvahs. We're only punishing ourselves for not following through the hakaras hatov that we deserve to Hashem. And so much so that Hashem, right, hu avicha hu koranecha, he gave birth to you, begadalcha, he raised you, hu koranecha, and because he gave birth to us and raised us, then we're his kinyan. And the Ramban says that, based on psukim, that, kone, right, we say kone shemayim v'aretz, that Hashem, right, we say in Bereishis, that Hashem is the kone, is the acquirer of shemayim v'aretz. What does it mean Hashem acquired the world? He means he paid money for it, because he created it, and he is the main owner, right, the carpenter who built the table is the first and foremost owner. Okay, he could sell it to a wholesaler or sell it to someone else, but the carpenter is the original owner. The fact that Hashem created the world, created us, raised us, and took us to a nation, he owns us. He has a kinyan in us by that extension, and therefore we totally turn our back on all of that. And again, if you follow through in the psukim, so Pasuk Zayin, Zichor Yimos Olam, Bino Shnos Dor Vador, Shal Avicha V'Yagencha V'Zeknecha V'Yamrulach. Look back into history. That's what Ramban here explains. That you should look back into everything that happened. What does it mean, Shal Avicha? Not just from recent history. Sheishis Yimei Breishis, Hatova Sh'Aslim, Beis Yitzira. What is the greatest goodness that God did for us? He created us. Right? This is a very famous concept that Hashem didn't need to create us. There's no. He's perfect without any people in the world. He only created us in order that we should gain goodness by giving us the opportunity to choose good and to go away from bad and keeping the mitzvahs. That was all a tovah that Hashem gave for us. So the fact that He created us, and even much more that He did, binu shnos dor vador, that we should realize, she'avinu ledas mashe nasalem, bedoras me'esh sharso shechina b'neim, kashe yisubar yimseh v'eretz midbar. And not only did He create us and give us so much, specifically Klal Yisrael, He chose to bring His shechina into this world, something that, whatever level we understand, was metaphorically difficult for Him, right? The Hashem Shechina belongs in Shemayim. Hashem Shechina, to bring it to the Mishkan, was it's a concept that he's restricting Himself in a certain extent to allow us such easy access to His Kedusha. That itself, and we turn our back onto that as well. And therefore, as the Pesukim describes starting on from now, starting from Pasuk, so now Ches through Tes, through Tesvav, not through the Yudal, including Yudal. Ches through Yudal describes all those things: the creation of the world, the Midbar, Matan Torah, everything through world history. And what did we do? Right, that's Pasuk Tesvav. Yishaman Yishurim VaYavayit. We got fat. We forgot about Hashem. We rebelled. Shamanta Avisa Kashisa. We denied Hashem. Vitashalo Asu VeNavel Sur Yeshua Sam. Right again, Nashon Naval. That's the main sin. We totally rejected Him and we moved away. And then the Pesukim describe with great gory and detail what the non-Jewish nations are going to do to us. And just to single out one key turning focus point in Pasuk Chavav, Amarti, now Hashem speaks again, right? The Shira, if you look carefully, goes back from the voice of Moshe Rabbeinu to the non-Jewish nations to Hashem. Amarti, Afahehem, Ashbisa Me'enos Zichron. So this word, Afahehem, needs translation, but the way Rashi explains, I will scatter them through all the nations, and I will just cause their memory to erase. This is the Pasuk of Galus. Scattering them amongst the nations is an example of Galus. Hashem is going to scatter us amongst the nations, and He's going to cause us to be erased. So now the Ramban here explains, brings this theme all together.
He's talking about Bnei Yisrael.
Yeah, Bnei Yisrael, that He's going to gather us, and we're going to be erased. And so And then, but he's going to go back to the point that he ends with, why he's going to come back to redeem us again. Let me just find the right place to start. Okay, so start. So first he describes how in this galus it's going to be such a deep, dark galus to the extent that we lost chus avos from Avram Avinu and Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. And the next paragraph, l'chein hisker Moshe b'tfilas v'yomer ha'goyim asher shamu shemecha le'mor. That he's describing the back and forth, and after that Hashem wanted, in the Midbar, Hashem wanted to destroy Jewish people, and Moshe said, what are the goyim going to say? So Ramban says, what does that mean? That he has to punish us and spread us out amongst all the goyim, and the reason why he's going to bring us back is because the goyim are going to say, oh, Hashem did this because he didn't have the ability, in that context, in Chedegel, he didn't have the ability to bring us into Eretz Yisrael. V'atam b'tayna azos, inu kiritzo leharos kocho bein sonov. It's not Hashem wants to show off to the people that hate him. Ki kol ha-goyim ka'an negin me'afis v'to'o nechshalo. Hashem doesn't care one bit of what they have to say. Aval Hashem baras adam b'tachtonim, shi'yakir es baro v'yodu l'shmo. Again, ha'kar esetov. Hashem creates a person in this world so he should recognize Hashem, and he should be able to give thanks to his name for all that he's done for us. He gave him bechira, bad or good. All the non-Jewish nations rejected, they had a choice, everyone had a choice, and they rejected, and they were kofar in Hashem. Who decided to stay true? We did, Am Yisrael. Our job is to be Mefarsi and the Shem Hashem in the world, to show all the non-Jewish nations that Hashem's our God and all the Nisim and all the miracles that He did for us throughout history. Therefore, it can't be that we're going to lose them forever. Even though it says, I'm going to erase their name. So it can't be lost forever. If we're forgotten, then the non-Jews will have no context to knowing Hashem. And if someone says, oh yeah, there were once a people, and Hashem did all the stuff for them, they'll think they're telling stories, and that it's something from the astronomy. The whole purpose of the world has no purpose then. Then there's just going to be anger, because the purpose of the world is that people should know Hashem. The non-Jewish nations have forgotten Hashem, so who's going to perpetuate Hashem's name? And that's why in the end, even though everything we did and all the galus we're going to do, Hashem's going to bring us back, because we still have that. Even though we've broken in terms of the specifics of the bris, meaning we weren't keeping up to our expectations, the fact that we went with Hashem and our job is to spread Hashem's name in the whole world, that can never be broken. And that's what's going to save us in the end of the day. So if you take this idea, the Hakara Satov, and the fact that we didn't live up to that and we turned our backs to Hashem, that's why Hashem's going to punish us. But He's still going to keep us and He's still going to be able to redeem us. That's the way the Ramban reads this entire Shira. And just one point I thought to explain this a little further. If you look in Pasuk Chaf, so the question that I had when I was doing this, the Ramban has this in other areas, hopefully we'll get to, throughout Chumash. This is a big theme of his, of the idea of Hakar Satov, and that Hashem has done so much for us. And part of our, it seems to be that what he's saying is that the main thing that obligates us in serving Hashem is the Hakar Satov. It's not just a nice idea that, you know, Hashem put us here and we have to serve Him. And by the way, He did so much for you, be Makar Tov. It seems to be the Ramban, that's the focal point of our serving of Hashem. Because He did so much, that obligates us to serve Him and keep His mitzvahs. What bothered me is that you can't understand that as just a regular Hakar Satov that I would have for my friend. If someone does something nice to me and I try to repay the favor, so if that's all our Avodas Hashem is based on, it becomes a very simplistic idea that I think there needs to be more to be explained. That really the only reason our whole service of Hashem is Hashem did good, we have to repay, just like if someone helps you change his tire, so you know you get him a gift to repay the Tova. So I think the Pasuk Chaf will really shed light on that whole idea. V'yomer astira panay mehem, era ma'ach riyasam. Turn my face from them, from the Jewish people. Let's see what's going to happen to them in the end. Kidor tafoch es hema. They're an upside-down generation. Banim lu'uman ban. Their children did not believe, right? Uman from Lashon Amunah did not believe in Hashem. So what's going on? The Ramban just explained to the Lashon of Naval that the whole thing is that we didn't have a Karas HaTov. Now it's saying that we didn't believe in Hashem. So I think what Hakaras HaTov does is that if a person truly believes in Hashem and to the highest level that he can, then Hakaras HaTov is a natural outgrowth of that. It's not just that Hashem did so much for us and we have to repay him. The more a person believes in Hashem and sees that Hashem is not only the creator of the world and takes care of every detail of the whole world, but in each individual's life, what Hashem does for all of us, so then you'll have Hakaras HaTov. The more emunah a person has, then the more naturally he has to have Hakaras HaTov, because if the person who truly believes in Hashem realizes how every step, everything is really coming from Hashem for his good, so of course Hakaras HaTov come out. So I think what the Ramban is saying is that they go together. But that's what obligates us to serve Hashem. It's the emunah that creates the Hakaras HaTov. It's in the context of emunah where the deeper emunah a person has, the more Hakaras HaTov they have, realizing what Hashem does for us, and therefore we pay him back. And how do we repay him back? Not because you did me a favor, so I want to get you a gift. Because those two actions are disconnected from each other. You did something nice to me, I'm going to do something nice for you. With Hashem, not only did he do something nice for us, he created us with a certain expectation. He put us on this world, he didn't have to create us. And therefore, by keeping Hashem's mitzvahs, we're, so to speak, redeeming the whole purpose that we're here for. It's that he gave us body parts. So we're not just saying, oh, thank you for our body parts, and I'm going to do good things for you. With the body parts that he gave us, we're able to do good things. Opposed to when your friend does something for you, you know, someone makes you a nice meal, you ate that meal, it's finished, so you repay him with something else. With everything that Hashem gave us and all the opportunities that he gave us, and if you throughout history, the fact that he, like the Ramban said, put his Shekhinah down in this world, those are the tools that we use to repay him. From what he gave us, what he specifically gave us, we use to repay him. So it's a different level of Hakaras HaTov based on Amunah and based on using what he gave us to serve him in the best possible way. So I think if you go through the Pesukim with these ideas, it will shed light on the Shira. And the last point that we started with, why do we call this a Shira? It's not a Shira. It's a Telchacha. A lot of Mefarshim are bothered by this. And the Ramban, he alludes to it in the end of the first piece that we said, that it has, in the Shira, we know that everything came true, the Nevuahs came true, and it has in it the past, the present, and the future. Apparently, there's a story that's recorded in a number of places. Actually, Rabbi Rice told me this story, and I found it in its source. There was a story with the Ramban himself. He had a student named Avner. And this student went off the Derech and went over to Avodah Zarah, went to other religions. And the Ramban ran into him a number of years later. And the Ramban asked him, why'd you go off the Derech? What happened? So he said, you, Ramban, you taught us all these things. And at first I thought it was the truth. And then I realized that some of the things you were teaching us were just not true. They were ridiculous. And once that's not true, I ditched the whole thing. So Ramban says, for example, and the student out there said, you told us that in Shiras HaZinu, inside the Torah, you could find hidden everything that's ever occurred throughout world history. And I just think that's ridiculous. So the Ramban said to him, well, I still think it's true, and I can show you. So Avner said, fine, show me my name. So in the pasuk that we just read, the last pasuk we had the Ramban, Amarti afehem ashpisa me'enosh zichron. Right, I'm gonna scatter them out throughout the nations, and their zichron, their remembrance will be lost. So he said, I see in this pasukim your name Avner. If you look in the last four letters, not all the Rosh Yetivos, but the Aleph of Afahem, the Beis and Ashpisa, as Aleph Beis, the Nun of Me'enosh is Nun, and Zichron, the Reish, is Avner. It's Pasuk Chavav. So that's spelled Avner. And that Pasuk saying, I'm going to scatter you and you're going to be forgotten forever. This person, so he got pretty startled back. I don't think he came back, it says in the story, but he got pretty startled by that. But the idea that the entire human history is written in the Shira, that's why it's called the Shira. And Michal Feinstein explains, the reason why it's called the Shira based on these Rambans is when you, what's the beauty of Shira? What's the beauty of a great symphony orchestra? If you take a single part of it, you know, if you just focus on the violinists or the trumpets or whatever it is, so you don't really hear the beauty. When every piece in the orchestra comes together, then it sounds very beautiful. If this Shira is describing the whole course of world history and how all world history is pointing to our Gula, then it's very beautiful. If you focus in on a few psukim, it looks very scary and it looks very sad. But if you see the entire picture of world history, that's a Shira. Just like if you focused on one aspect of the symphony, it wouldn't be so nice. We look at one small glimpse of world history. If we saw the entire picture, so obviously even things that seem to be bad, it really fits into Hashem's plan and somehow is very beautiful. And that's why the Shira is called the Shira, because it's going through the difficulties of world history, but we know that it's all pointing to the final Geula, where we'll be able to see the entire symphony play out. And I think based on what the Ramban is saying, that would very beautifully explain why it's a Shira. So what we're going to try to do in the remaining few minutes is skip to Vizosa Bracha, because hopefully, if we're going to have the next year, we would like to do the introduction to Chumash before Brachos, which is something that shouldn't be missed. So, I'll have to skip around a little bit here. Okay, so I'll point out for your own reading some Rambans that might be worthwhile. So the first Rambam is also a bracha, is very interesting, very important, where he describes what he's focusing on the word zos, and that there are what's so special about these brachas that are going to be given. And he says that if you look at the word zos, so it comes up in numerous other times within brachos. And it says, by Yaakov, when he was giving the brachos, it also says v'zos. If you look on the fourth line here, it says, Precious mem tes chavches, v'zos v'sher dibar lehem aviyim. This is what their father spoke to them. That's v'zos ha-bracha. And it also says, zos by David, zos ha'isa li ki pukudech in nitzarti. This is what it was for me, because I kept your mitzvos. And he says, that's a remez, letzion ir David, ki shem Hashem, tziva Hashem es ha-bracha, chayim ara olam, because David was the one that built Zion. And Hashem commanded that there should be brachos always on Sion. And he also says, Vizos means the Torah, right? Vizos HaTorah is also referring to the Torah. All those are Vizos. So we have a bracha, and we have four Vizoses. Moshe, David, which relates to Sion Yerushalayim, and the Torah. So I think the idea is very much based on Kabbalistic sources here, but I think what the idea that Ramban is trying to come explain here is Vizos HaBracha, what are things that allow for their bracha to be. So he's going through different time periods in history. We have Yaakov, who gave brachos before Matan Torah. And then there's Moshe, who gave brachos after Matan Torah. And there's David, who brought bracha onto Tzion of Yerushalayim, and all that is through the Torah. There were different. The Torah took one form, the way Yaakov kept it before Matan Torah, then there's the way we keep Torah after Matan Torah, and there's the ultimate goal, that Hashem's Shekhinah should be resting in Yerushalayim, and all that is through the Torah, which is called Zos, meaning that what allows bracha to come down into this world is if it's channeled through the Torah. And what Yaakov, Moshe, David all understood is how to take the koach of the Torah and be able to make that a receptacle to receive the brachos. That's the Ramban's nice idea on Zos HaBracha. We continue to Pasuk Beis. V'yom Radayim Sinai Ba, V'zarach Metzir Lamo, Hafil Mihar Paran, V'asim Rivas Kodesh, Mimino Ish Das Lamo, describing how Hashem came down on Har Sinai and gave us the Torah. I just picked out one line from this Ramban, even though he goes on and he elaborates on this idea. He says, what does it mean, Misinei Ba? Yomer Ki Hashem Misinei Ba Yisrael. Hashem came to Klai at Har Sinai, Ki Misham Hishchim Shechinasa B'socham, V'shuv Lo Nestalka Mehem. From that moment that Hashem brought His Shechina down within us on Har Sinai, it never left us. And he describes through the Mishkan and the Midbar and the Beis Hamikdash. The question is, that doesn't seem to be true. What do you mean, v'shuv lo nistalko mehem? And it never left us? Right now, we're living in a time of galus, where even though we know Hashem is with us, but there isn't apparent, obvious hashras hashchina. So what does it mean that the shchina never left us? So it could be, it just occurred to me before, after I had an answer ready, that it's only speaking up until this point in history. That through Matan Torah, the Midbar, about to enter Yisrael, at that point, the shchina never left them, even though we know it will leave them. But it's also possible to say that in a certain sense, the Shekhinah never left us, because the Gemara in Brachos twice says, once the Gemara says, after the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Ein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'olamo, el adar amo shel halacha bilvad. Even though the Shekhinah left the Beis HaMikdash, through halacha, through the Torah, the Shekhinah still exists. And the Gemara in Brachos in the Mishnah Perkei Avos says, minayin, that even a yachid who is osik b'Torah, the Shekhinah Zimahem, and the Gemara quotes Psukim to prove that. That even one person, an individual, learns Torah on his own, the Shekhinah comes and is within him. That even though the Shekhinah left us, that we have no place, like Har Sinai or the Beis HaMikdash, where there's a Shekhinah, but within the Torah, there always is the Shekhinah. And once He gave us the Torah Har Sinai, so then the Shekhinah is always accessible to us through an individual who sits and learns Torah, and through the Da'at Amos HaHalacha, by understanding Hashem's entire system, Hashem's entire Torah, then the Shekhinah can continue to rest within us. Moving on to Pasuk Dalet, probably the second most famous Pasuk in the Torah. Torah next to Shema Yisrael. Torah Tzivolana Moshe Morasha Kilaz Yaakov. That Moshe, through Moshe, the Torah was commanded to us, and it's a Morasha, it's an inheritance through the Kilos Yaakov. So the Ramban focuses on how to translate this Pasuk, and what specifically does Kilos Yaakov mean. Hatam Shiasa Tamid V'yemar Torah Tzivolana Moshe. That it should always, the Torah is always there. V'hitia morasha l'kilos Yisrael. It could be a continuous morasha. It's always being passed down. It's always been given to us. Kilo doros olam. Kol b'nei Yaakov Yerushua. Every single Jew inherits the Torah. V'shamru someone keeps it. Kilo tishach mipizaro. First of all, the Pasuk telling you the ongoing, always there, continual nature of the Torah. The Torah is always going to be something that we're constantly yorish. We constantly inherit. And what's kilos Yaakov? Skip down one line. V'omer kihilas Yaakov, in the quotes, l'ramesh yikalu rabin malayim b'tia Torah li'olam mura shal Yaakov. That many will gather, kihilos, kihilak, to gather around the Torah, and it will always be, like he said, a morash for them. U'lechol ha'nikalim alav, that anybody who gathers to the Torah, meaning, himagirim ha'nilavim al Hashem l'sharsalvin, it's b'chul ha'bis Yaakov. If you gather to the Torah by becoming a ger, so then you become part of the Torah. You become in, meaning the kilos Yaakov is emphasizing the Torah is everlasting, and it's for all Jews and even for non-Jews who want to join in. The Torah is for everybody, and the Rambam uses this same pasuk to show that idea. The Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tam Torah, he starts off Perek Gimel describing what does it mean the Keser Torah. How does a person achieve the crown of Torah? Not just fulfilling his obligation of learning every day, but to really strive to achieve higher levels of Torah. So the Rambam has language that the Keser Torah is munach lakol. It's not something. It's not a crown that only a king can wear, that you have to inherit it. That it's an inheritance for all of us. Every Jew could grab onto the crown of Torah. And he quotes this pasuk as his proof. The Ramban's expressing the same idea. The Kilos Yaakov is saying every single Jew, even to the ger, is able to come gather on the Torah, and the Torah is equally applicable to everybody. Okay, I want to skip. I put the same Ramban twice here. I want to skip the Ramban about Binyamin. You can look at it yourself. He talks about how the bracha of Binyamin, right? There's three, referring to the Beis Hamikdash, and there's three different languages: Yishkol Nevetach, Chofi V'Lav Kol Olam, Ubein Ketefav Shachin, referring to the three different Batei Mikdashos. If you could say something there, I'm not exactly sure. I'll take a look. But now skip to the end of the parsha, the next parak. Pasuk Yud, again, other famous Pasukim. Close off the Torah, right? Describing how Moshe went to the mountain and saw Eretz Yisrael, even though he was not going to be able to enter that. The Ramban there also has a very nice piece, what the purpose of him going to see the land is, even though he was not entering it. And now Moshe is passing the reins to Yehoshua, that's Pasuk Tes.
What is
Paraglam and Dalin? Pasuk Tes is passing the reins to Yehoshua, and Pasuk Yud is V'lo kam navi ov b'Yisrael kim Moshe asher yadu Adonai panim apanim l'chol ha'osis v'ham osos v'ham osim asher shochu Adonai la'asos b'eret mitzayim v'far l'chol ha'vadov v'l'chol ha'ratzo v'l'chol ha'yad ha'chazakol l'chol ha'mora gadol asher asa Moshe le'inei kol Yisrael. End of the Torah. That all the miracles, all the signs that showed in Mitzrayim and the Yad HaChazakah through Matan Torah, everything that Moshe did. And the Torah singles out, V'lo kam Navi Od B'Yisrael Kim Moshe, who knows Hashem face to face. As we know that Moshe was the greatest Navi to ever live. And the question is, what made Moshe Rabbeinu, what was so unique about him that we singled him out, there will be no other great Navi. But before we get to that, the Ran, in his Drasha, has a fascinating question in this Pasuk. V'lo kam Navi Od B'Yisrael Kim Moshe, the Torah is telling us that there will be no other person who could become as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. We believe the Ramban just described it as, you know, every Jew has Bechira, to choose good, to choose bad. And Bechira means that it's a scale. Choose good, choose bad, keep growing, and there should be no stop to a person's growth. If a person decides, I want to work, I want to become as great as Moshe Rabbeinu, so how come the Torah here is telling me that I can't do that? Isn't it taking away the Bechira of a person to choose that he can't come to that final level? So the Ran says that there's probably numerous answers to that question, but the Ran answers that you see from here in these psukim that it has to be what made Moshe Rabbeinu so special is that his levels were shalop alpi, not alpi derech hatevel, not to the normal way of a person. If a normal way a person works and works and works, he can reach very high levels, he can even become a Navi. But to become a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu, that only is through a present from Hashem. Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu a present to take him up to one higher level of everybody else, and that's how the Torah could promise, V'lo kam Navi Obi Yisrael. Because Hashem knows that I gave a person Bechira, he could go as far as he can, but he can't go further than as far as he can, and only I could do that, and I could give that that present that I gave to Moshe. So what makes Moshe so special? Says Rashi, just if anyone wants to, please feel free to go to Ma'ariv. It'll take a few more minutes. If anyone, says Rashi, Shailibo Gaspo Medaber La B'chol Shav B'shashi Yirtza. Unlike the other Nevi'im where Hashem had to appear to him, Moshe, so to speak, just had to pick up the phone and Hashem was ready to listen. Kenyan Shenemar Ba'ata Alel Hashem says in Shemos, I'm going to go to Hashem. Amdu V'eshmavati Ma'itzav Hashem Lachem. Moshe tells the Benos Slovcha, they come, they ask him a question, he says, wait 1 second, I'll go ask Hashem, I'll get back, I'll give you an answer. You see, he had full access to Hashem. Ramban says, that's not where his uniqueness lies. V'einenu Nachum, ki hayomer asher yodas Hashem panim al panim. It doesn't say, and he calls to Hashem, and Hashem always answers him. It says, he knows Hashem face to face. Aval humilasham v'yadecha b'shem, like it says in Kisisa, I will know your name. V'yata amarta yadecha b'shem. You said I should know you with your name. Yomer shelo kam navi ol b'yisal kimosh asher galu Hashem v'yosal upon him a dibor, that he could speak to Hashem face to face and know Hashem. V'chein ma adam v'tadeyu. What can, how could a person know Hashem, says the pasuk and tellim? Shetasal kavod shum daitcho alav. That Hashem should give cover to a person, that he'll pay attention to him. What does it mean that I know a person face to face? I know him on a much more intimate level. Yadu Hashem, panim upon him. It doesn't want to say that the pasuk doesn't say he actually knows Hashem. It says he knows Hashem face to face. The reason why it doesn't say so explicitly that he knows Hashem Mamish is because it wants to still show a kavod for the Rabbanu Shalom, that really it is improper. It's not the kavod of Hashem that a person should fully know. But Moshe Rabbeinu reached a level where he is the only person that could really know, really understand to the best of the human ability what there is to know of Hashem. And that's what it means, panim upon him. And then the Ramban has a question at the end, because it says by Klal Yisrael, in Matan Torah, panim upon him, daber Hashem imchem. Hashem spoke to us face to face. That's every Jew. So obviously we don't know Hashem the way Moshe does. So the answer is, if you look very beautifully, the Ramban's reading the Pesukim, because it says there, Mitoch Ha'ish. Hashem spoke to us panim upanim, Mitoch Ha'ish. There was still the blocking of the fire. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the blocking of the fire. So this Pasuk, and what the Ramban's describing, is the famous thing when we say, in Yigdal, right, Lo Kam K'Moshe Od, that we know that another Navi will not come like Moshe. And that's what the Rambam includes in his 13 principles of faith. Seventh one is that a person has to believe that there is no other Navi like Moshe. And the Rambam just explains, I guess he's going based more like Rashi, he explains four uniquenesses to Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, opposed to Shar Navim. First of all, other Navim, there's somehow a blockage, it's through the Dibor is spoken to them through what the Rambam calls an Emsai, something that's in between. And Hashem speaks to Moshe Pelpeh. He speaks to him directly. Second of all, the other Nevi'im only get their Nevuah when they're sleeping in a dream or at night, and Hashem speaks to Moshe during the day, mitoch the kruvim from the Olam Oed. And all the other Nevi'im didn't have the physical capability to accept these words of Hashem and be able to maintain their normal living occurrences. They went into mental states and spiritual states where they were only able to handle the Nevuah. They couldn't remain on the same type of person they were and be able to hear the Nevuah. They kind of left their body, so to speak. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he was able to speak, like the Pasuk says, panam panam, he was able to speak to Hashem ki'isha re'ehu, like a conversation. And, like the Rashi explains, that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to speak to Hashem anytime that he wants, and the other Nevi'im were only, the Nevuah was revealed to them when Hashem decided. That's what made Moshe Rabbeinu so unique. And just to close, interesting that we include this as one of our tenets and principles of faith, that we have to believe what made Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi. Why would we have to, it's not so clear, it's an important idea, but the fact that that goes on par with the fact that we believe in Mashiach, we believe in the oneness of Hashem. So there's a lot spoken about what's the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, but part of it is what makes Rav Soloveitchik has an idea like this, and the Brisker of also has it in a different context of this idea. What made Moshe Rabbeinu so unique is that his Nevuah and Torah were one and the same. Every other Navi, their job was to give Musar, to send the message of Hashem to the people. Every word of speech that was spoken to Moshe Rabbeinu became the Torah, right? We say, Zichru Torah's Moshe Avi. The whole Nevuah of Moshe is the Torah. So we have to believe that since he's the greatest Navi, and that's where our Torah came from, that speaks to the truth of our Torah. That our Torah came from the Hashem through a person who was at these unbelievable levels that it's hard for us to understand. That speaks to the truth of our Torah, but it was given through a person like Moshe Rabbeinu.